Paletten.
My Money and Me with Thuli Makubane, Kaya FM 95.9.
Welcome back. If you've just joined me, I'm Thuli Makubane. I'm with you until 9 p.m. Still coming up on the show is our F&B Be Financially Smart feature. And we will be wrapping up the saving and investment pillar. But right now, we're joined on the line by Corinne van der Merwe, who is the MD of Servant Trust Limited. Good evening, Corinne.
Good evening, Thuli. Good evening, Smith.
Thank you. It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you very much.
So, I mean, it is officially tax season, and it is insane. I was actually at SARS and actually waited 45 minutes in the queue only to realize that they can't help me being sent to the right station or whatever. So tax is something that is top of mind for a lot of people at the moment. But today we're talking about tax havens. Not everybody's got enough money, I suppose, that they want to hide from the tax man. But it is interesting nonetheless to just talk about the topic of tax havens and understand what is legal and what is illegal, because I think certain elements of it are legal. Correct, Corinne?
Yes, you are right. Obviously, if you hide your financial affairs in tax havens and you're not disclosing on your tax return here in South Africa, you have all around the world, you are soon going to run into problems, and that is illegal. But if you structure your affairs in line with South African legislation and you obtain your tax advice from lawyers and accountants, auditors, and these clever people that we have in South Africa, then there's no issue with doing that, as long as you do what is allowed for in terms of our exchange control rules and Income Tax Act.
All right. So before we continue, maybe give us a definition of a tax haven.
So tax havens are usually jurisdictions where you pay no tax or very little tax. Mm-hmm. Most of these jurisdictions also don't have any double taxation agreements signed with other countries around the world. But it's predominantly the idea that you have when we refer to tax havens is jurisdictions where you pay no income tax and no corporation tax.
All right. And why would companies choose to move their funds offshore so that they pay little or no tax?
Obviously, it's to increase the profitability of the organization. But sometimes when you look at South African companies and South African individuals, the main reason is not always to make the company more profitable. It's because we have our exchange control rules that are sometimes quite difficult to get around. They do want to set up structures in international financial centers. That's what we call them nowadays. Just for the ease of moving funds around. And the main reason isn't always to minimize or to hide profits. It's just to make the doing of business a bit easier in light of our exchange control rules.
And then getting into those exchange control rules, I know there's different amounts for individuals and corporates. Maybe take us through those.
Yes. So from a South African perspective, if you're an individual, you are allowed to take out 1 million rand without a tax clearance certificate. Mm-hmm. If you want to take out more, you're allowed to take out 10 million rand on top of that, but you can only do so once you've received a tax clearance certificate. And usually the banks or your Forex expert who assists with that will apply for your clearances. And then I've heard about special applications that's been done where people are allowed to take out more than the 10 million foreign investment allowance, but also on the condition that all their taxes are paid up to date and they can produce a tax clearance certificate.
And this is per annum?
Companies. Yes, that's per annum, and that's for individuals. Companies is a different story, and it's my understanding from what I hear from the Forex experts that it is slightly more difficult to get your approvals. It's a lengthier process as well, but you can take up to 50 million rand if you are a company.
Okay. And then how does it work with foreign-owned companies that have subsidiaries in South Africa?
Right. So then usually one needs to consider loop structuring. That is a bit of an exchange control issue, not necessarily so much an income tax issue.
All right, I see.
To explain a loop structure, just in a nutshell, is usually if you've got South African beneficiaries at the top of the structure and it owns South African assets, that creates a loop structure. Often we see international companies held by trust, of which the beneficiaries are South African, and then they want to invest back in South Africa, and that could also be problematic from an exchange control perspective.
All right. Okay. And now looking at tax havens, I mean, last year, I think it was last year when the Panama Papers were leaked. I think it was around April, May last year.
Yeah.
Then following that, there was the Bahamas leaks. And we're even surprised that there were South Africans that were implicated in the Panama Papers. I think one son of number one was mentioned amongst the, those individuals. So maybe people heard about this, maybe just to refresh the minds of our listeners, why did this investigation take place and the people that were implicated, what was the big fuss around this?
I think nowadays tax transparency is quite a big word in our industry.
Mm.
It's all about what are people doing to hide funds in secret places, secret accounts, so that they can reduce their tax bill. And the OECD, as well as the IRS, it really started with America and introducing FATCA, and then the OECD followed with introducing common reporting standards. What they're trying to do is to make the whole world talk mm-hmm. to one another,
yes.
And to get everyone on the same level of taxation, or actually just close to that. And with, I think what made the Panama leak such a big thing is because they've discovered that very wealthy and high-profile businessmen and politicians have been using Panama as a jurisdiction to hide funds, which they haven't declared in their local tax returns, and they haven't been paid the taxes that they were supposed to be paying in their local jurisdictions if they actually declared the structures and the funding in the way that they should have done. So I think what the big difference between structuring your affairs in a legitimate way and what has happened there is that they had these structures put into place, and that per se was not problematic, but it's the fact that they did not report the income and they did not report the distributions. That was the issue. So as people are allowed to set up structures. They are allowed to have trusts in low-tax jurisdictions. But when they don't report the income and the distributions that they receive from these, or the originating source of income, and they don't pay tax on that, that is where tax structuring and company and trust structuring becomes illegal.
All right. We're having a conversation with Corinne van der Merwe, who is the MD of Sovereign Trust Limited. And we're talking about tax havens. It is tax season. So some people are lucky enough to have money to move around. They probably are consulting their tax consultants or whoever is advising them just to make sure that their tax affairs are in order. So today we thought we'd also look at this particular tax issue, because a lot of people are increasing their earnings, and although times are tough, seriously, there are people who are still making money. So Corinne, coming back to you now, so you mentioned that certain countries have almost like a double taxation type treaty, and some of these tax havens don't actually have that. And in your article you mentioned Dubai. What is our relationship with Dubai?
Yes, so there is now a double taxation agreement in place with Dubai. The thing with Dubai is people don't pay corporations or individual tax in Dubai. So it is quite a popular place to set up a company or for South Africans to actually go work there for a certain period of time to receive salaries tax-free. The only issue that we see nowadays with people working in the UAE, and not just Dubai for that matter, is that potentially the 183-day rule is going to be scrapped from our Income Tax Act, which means that the South Africans who do intend to come back to South Africa will probably have to start to include in their tax return here in South Africa the income that they generate overseas, even though they're not living here, but because they will probably be regarded as ordinarily tax resident for South African tax purposes, it will mean that they have to pay tax on their worldwide income while working in the UAE. So I can see that a lot of South Africans are not going to be very happy about that.
So what is this 183-day rule?
So at the moment, if you're a South African and you work outside of the country for more than 183 days,
which is 6 months, I suppose.
Yes, basically half of the year, of which 60 days have to be in continuance, mm-hmm. then you don't pay tax mm-hmm. on your salary, but it's only in relation to your salary while you're working overseas. You're still going to be liable for things like capital gains tax if you are to sell a property in South Africa and there's a gain, or if you receive rental income on that property that you own. So it's only in relation to salaries that you receive. But the idea is that from the 1st of March 2019, the income tax will change with regards to South African employees working outside the country, and those the income that they earn during that period needs to be included.
Wow.
Yes, okay. So that's quite a drastic change.
Yes. So, I mean, I see that in this article it mentions that the UAE tax treaty was not designed to help the Guptas, but it has been in existence prior to them moving their fines across. Okay.
So no comment.
No comment on that one. Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, I guess, I mean, for me, I have to say, when you listen to all these Gupta Leaks emails, I have to hand it to them. I mean, these guys are creative when it comes to moving funds around and trying to hide funds and the stuff that's coming out of the leaks. But anyway, that's another topic for another time. I wouldn't mind checking lessons just how to be savvy. Oh, so now exactly. Coming back to individuals, I mean, there are people who would have bank accounts in the likes of Switzerland, or it would be in the Cayman Islands and those really exotic locations. So as an individual, when you do have an offshore account, does that necessarily mean that you can save the tax in that account? Or would you still be expected to pay tax some kind of income tax, because if you're earning an interest or whatever in that offshore account?
Julie, it basically depends on where you are tax resident. In mm-hmm. South Africa, we tax people on their worldwide income.
Okay.
So if you are a South African tax resident and you have a bank account in Switzerland, for example, you're allowed to have that bank account. But any income that you earn and that gets paid into that account while you're a South African tax resident has to be reported, and you're going to have to pay your tax on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you're a tax resident somewhere else, you need to look at that particular jurisdiction's tax rules. For example, if you just take Zambia, people who are tax resident in Zambia do not pay tax on income that they earn that isn't brought back into Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
So it really just depends on where you are tax resident at the end of the day.
All right. So what about someone who has double citizenship? So does that mean you have to pay tax twice?
No, so we distinguish between citizenship and tax residency. The question that we ask in South Africa is, where are you tax resident? So even though you might have a British passport, the fact that you are living in South Africa and you're a tax resident here means that you are taxed on your worldwide income.
Okay. Oh, well, at least that's actually good to know. So you started touching on some of the changes which will be coming into effect in the next year or two. I mean, you mentioned the 183 rule. Any other ones that we should look out for?
I think common reporting standards is on everyone's mind here in South Africa as well. Over 100 countries have signed up for common reporting standards. And what that basically means is that the tax authorities of these countries that have signed up, they are collating information from financial institutions within their jurisdictions. And then from September 2017, the various tax authorities will exchange information on an automatic basis with one another.
All right.
And those countries have been grouped into two groups, the first adopter countries and the second adopter countries. First group, about 50% of the 106 countries that have signed up, they start to report September 2017, and then the next group will start to report September 2018.
All right.
So there is not really much time left for anyone who want to restructure who haven't really gone and seen a tax attorney to make sure that their tax affairs and structuring is in place. It's now the time to go see your lawyers if you haven't done that yet, but the reporting, the collating of information has already happened, and that will definitely be shared come September 2017 and 2018.
Okay. Our guest tonight is Corinne van der Merwe, who is the MD of Servant Trust SA Limited, talking to her about tax havens. And it sometimes sounds like something of the rich and famous, you know, if you've got lots of money, you put it away in some exotic island and try and save on paying tax. So as we wrap up, Corinne, any tips for our listeners over and above what we've discussed already?
My advice would be, when you do consider taking funds outside of the country, just go and see a tax lawyer. See someone who's got experience with exchange control rules and income tax rules, because often people forget about exchange control rules. And it's very, very important that you're also aware of what is allowed and what isn't allowed when you do set up international bank accounts, companies, or trusts. As long as you follow the legislation, you are not doing anything illegal, but it is to be informed. That is the most important thing when you do the international structuring.
All right. Sounds good. And if people wanted to get in touch with you, how do they do so?
We have an office in Cape Town as well as Sandton. They can give us a call at the office number in Cape Town, 021-418-210. Mm-hmm. And in Johannesburg, it's 011-305-7480.
All right. Thank you very much, Corinne.
It's a pleasure.
That was Corinne van der Merwe, who is the MD of Sovereign Trust SA Limited. And we've just had a conversation around tax havens. If you missed part of the interview, please like our Facebook page, which is My Money and Me with Thuli Makubane. And we will be putting up the podcast tomorrow, so you could listen to this particular interview or others that you missed out on in the past. We're going to take a short break. And when we return from our break, we're going to be having our F&B Be Financially Smart feature. And today we're wrapping up our saving and investment pillar. So if you have any questions or concerns relating to saving and investment, make sure that you're tuned in, and it would be your last time to have an opportunity to call us around that.
My Money and Me. My Money and Me. Baseline Live presents an intimate evening with the legendary Oliver Dukumtukudzi. A proudly African, globally renowned Afro-jazz musician. 31 August at the Lyric Theatre, Gold Reef City. Don't miss out on this rare chance to see a true African icon in action. Get your tickets now from 200 Rand at CompuTicket. Baseline Live is in partnership with Kaya FM 95.9.
Sometimes issues are raised and contested through strikes, riots, protests, and labor unrest, which could leave your car, property, or business building exposed to damage. That's why you need special risk cover with Sasria. Sasria is the only insurance company that offers special risk insurance to protect the assets of all South Africans against extraordinary risks. Be a step ahead of the unexpected. Ask your broker about Sasria today or visit sasria.co.za for more info. Sasria is an authorized FSP. Sasria, covering the extraordinary.
Be financially smart.